Erev Tov, everyone. We're going to start our Parsha Shir tonight in the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to start our Parsha Shir tonight in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tav Resh Pei Hei. In Simen Tav Resh Pei Hei, the Mechaber discusses Seder Arba Parshios, the schedule of the four special leanings that take place, two before Purim and two after Purim. And the Mechaber tells us that when Rosh Chodesh Adar falls out on Shabbos, so that first Shabbos you read Parsha Shkolim, the next Shabbos is Parsha Zachar, the third Shabbos is a Shabbos off, which is Shushan Purim, and the fourth Shabbos in this Maslul, in this succession of Parshios, he tells us in Sif Gimel, B'Shabbos Harvi, Yishu Chaf Beis Ladar, Motzi and Shnei Svarim, Be'echad Korei B'Parshas HaShavua. The first Torah we're going to take out, we're going to read the Parshas Shavuah, which is Parshas Kisisa. Ubashani, in the second Torah, Kori Parshas Parah. We read Parshas Parah. Umaftir v'zarakti aleichem mayim torim. And the Haftorah is from Yecheskel Hanavi, a beautiful Haftorah with some very, very famous psukim of purity, which is what the Parah Adum is all about, which is about purification. And then in the very end of the Siman, in Sif Zayin, in the seventh law in this chapter in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber tells us something that might surprise you. Yesh Omrim, there are those that say, She Parsha Zachar U Parshas Para, Aduma Chayovin Lekrosa Mid the Araisa. There are those that say that Parsha Zachar and Parshas Para are both Torah obligations to read. And this is from Tosfos in Maseches Brachos. The Be'er Hagolah, one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, points out it's a Tosfos that Parshas Parah is also required reading Torah law. Lefikach, therefore, the Mechaber says, B'nei ha'yushuvim she'en lehem minyan tzrichim lavo lamakum she'ish minyan b'shabasas halalu kidei l'shmoa paparshios elu she'en midaraisa. So the Mechaber paskins that people that live in small villages where they don't have a Shabbos minyan and they don't have public Torah reading, they should come to the big cities, the two Shabboses a year, Parshas Zachar and Parshas Parah, because these are Torah readings that are the Araisa, that are in fact Torah law. We know Parshas Zachar, everyone points out, is Torah law. Many Achronim, right away Mishneh Berurah comments, points out, many don't say the same about Parshas Parah that we read this week. The Vilna Gaon and many, many Achronim were mefakfek. They question whether or not really Parshas Parah is midaraisa, but in Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber is quoting Shitas HaTosfos that this is also a daraisa. So what I want to do this week is understand Parshas Parah. We spent time on understanding Parsha Zachar 2 weeks ago, and this week I want to spend time trying to understand Parshas Parah, and we're also going to be reading about, we're also going to be learning about this week's Parsha, which is Parshas Kisisa. And I'm sure many of you already know the connection. But let's get started. We start with a Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah Daf Chavtes tells us that we read Parshas Parah, right? And why do we read Parshas Parah? We read Parshas Parah, Rashi tells us right here in the Gemara in Megillah, what does Rashi tell us is the reason for Parshas Parah? Parshas Parah Aduma, lehazir es Yisrael letaher, sheyasu pischayin betara. To warn the Jewish people that they have to purify themselves to get ready for the Karban Pesach. Those that learned Afayomi have been learning all about the Karban Pesach, about its status as a very elevated and very unique type of sacrifice offered up for millions and millions of people, right? So this is something that everyone had to try and become pure. Tahar, to be able to go to the Beis HaMikdash, to be able to eat from this carbon. And Rashi says that's why we read Parshas Parah. So the question is obvious, and many Mefarshim ask it. So why do we read Parshas Parah, right? Why is Parah so important to us? Okay, I get it. Back in the day, they had the Karban Pesach, but you know, it's an interesting historical question. At which point did these four Parshios actually become enacted to be read? Okay, Zachar, if it's Daraisa, there was a mention of it. So Parah, was this Daraisa? Was this not Torah law? How long were they reading this? But Rashi says the reason is to prepare for the Karban. So what about when we don't have a Karban? Why are we reading from it, right? So there are a number of approaches that I want to talk about tonight. The first approach is the most simple, and in some ways, I have to be honest with you, the most beautiful. And what is that? You know why we read Parshas Para? All about purifying ourselves for Karbanos? Because we hope that we're going to bring a Karban Pesach this year. Isn't that so simple? Isn't that so beautiful? We read Parshas Para, which is telling the Jewish people to try and become pure as they can because we're hopefully going to bring Karban Pesach this year. And so we're going to read Parah the Shabbos, all the laws of the Parah Aduma. Everyone has to remember that you have to get sprinkled, right? We talk about double vaccines. Now there's Johnson & Johnson, so you only get one shot. But the double vaccines of the Moderna or the Pfizer, we know you had to be sprinkled on two times, the double vaccinations of purity, sprinkled on from the ashes of the Parah Aduma with this fresh spring water twice on the third. Make sure you're holding in these halachos. Because we hope we're going to have a Beis HaMikdash. We hope that we're going to be bringing a Karban Pesach. And it's great that Daf HaYomi just learned all the halachas of what happens if the Karban Pesach is supposed to be brought on a Shabbos, right? That's another shiur we're going to be having, hopefully, maybe later in this week. Some of the halachas of this unique Pesach. We have to maybe send something out to the membership about it. But what we wanted, so that's one simple answer. One simple answer. You know why we read Parshas Parah and why it's so important? Why it's a mitzvah d'oraisa? Because a Jew never gives up hope. Because a Jew believes, L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim havnuya. Not next year for Pesach, this year for Pesach. I don't want to be in Dubai. I don't want to be in Orlando. I don't want to be in Cancun. I don't want to be in Arizona. I want to be in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. I want to be in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, that even Israeli politics can't stop us. Mashiach will come, Beis HaMikdash will be built, Hashem will bring a ruach of refuah to the whole world. We'll all be by the Beis HaMikdash. Bez Hashem, I'll see in Yerushalayim. Right? So that's one approach. Now let's take another approach. And the other approach is born from a medrash, of course, a famous medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah. It's also born out of the Rashi quotes from Rabbi Moshe Adarshan and Parshas Chukas, from the laning that we're in fact going to have in this week's Parsha, in this week's special Parsha of Parah Aduma, right? So we're going to read a number of psukim from the beginning of Chukas, and Rashi says, what is this whole idea of the Parah Aduma? Perek Yotes Pasuk Chav Beis in Chukas, he says, U'medrash Agada Hetakti Miyasodo Shal Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. What's the medrash, what's the midrashic teaching of Parah Aduma? What's the Parah Aduma all about? So we know you look in the Bereishis, in the Bamidbar Rabbah talks about it, that, you know, the Parah Aduma is akin to a little child, Tinokes, a little child is running around the palace, and the child has an accident, and the child makes a mess, and it gets very dirty, and it's a little bit of a mess all over the place. And so, what do? They call the mother, you know, please come take care of your child. Come clean up the mess that your child made. So, Zot Rabbi Moshe Adarshan, Zot the famous Bamidbar Rabbah. There was a baby calf that made quite a mess, and its name was the Egel Azav, the golden calf. So comes the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, right? We tell the mother, the Parah Aduma, the red heifer, the red cow, come and fix up the mess of your baby, of your child, of the golden calf. So Parah Aduma is a tikkun, is a fixing for the sin of the golden calf. And where is the sin of the golden calf? Where do we read about it? We read it down in this week's Parsha. Parsha's Kisis is where we read about the chait of the egel. So now, if we want to get a deeper understanding why, according to Tosfos, why the Mechaber quotes that Parshas Parah is a din d'oraisa, every year we have to read this Torah law, we have to read it, right? Why? So again, one teretz that a Jew, like Rashi says in the Gemara Megillah, a Jew is always hoping that we're going to bring Karban Pesach, and we have to. That's the carbon that's the most obligatory on everyone, so we always have to be ready for it, right? So that again, that's the first approach. But second approach is no. There's something else here, that the Parah Aduma on a deeper level, it's not only about purifying the Jewish people so they can have sacrifices, so we can eat holy food. No, there's something else here. something happened by the sin of the golden calf that deeply stained the Jewish people. We know that's also something we've spoken about in the past, that Hashem says, you know, when I'm going to bring punishments, a little bit of the Parah Adum is always going to be there. It's a stain, Ad Bias Gaol Tzedek, until Mashiach comes, that the Jewish people have to move past. So the Tikkun, what's going to teach us how to fix the sin of the golden calf, is the mitzvah of Parah Adum. That's what the Medrash is telling us. So really now, then, we have to come to our parsha. We have to come to Kisisa. And we have to understand what was really the sin of the golden calf. What was really the sin of the golden calf? Was this an idol? They thought this was God? They thought this golden calf took them out of Egypt, did all the miracles, all the 10 plagues, gave them the man, gave them the well, gave them the... This was the voice they heard, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The voice they heard, Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, no foreign gods, nothing. That came from that calf? They really think that? No, that doesn't make any sense. And in fact, the Beis HaLevi, Rav Yosef Tov Soloveitchik Zatzal, Rav Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University's namesake, right? Rav Yosef, the Beis HaLevi, his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi explains, no, this wasn't, they didn't really think that this was Hashem. What happened was, we know the Gemara tells us that they were missing out, they were lacking Moshe Rabbeinu. They thought Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be down already. And they panicked. Maybe they panicked because of that voice of God that overwhelmed them, that caused their souls to leave their body. So they panicked. They're like, we can't take God straight. Where's Moshe? Where's our intermediary? We need something between us. So what did they try and do? They tried to create a Mishkan. I mean, not the Mishkan that Hashem commanded. They tried to create a Mishkan. They tried to create a physical vehicle for God's presence to be manifest in this world. After all, Shechinah medaberes mitoch krono shel Moshe, God's voice like spoke through Moshe in many ways. They saw Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, as something la'elu, something really beyond. They needed, without Moshe in between them, what was going to happen? They were afraid. So that's really what's going on in the parasha. That's what the Beis HaLevi says they were doing. This wasn't a sin of idolatry. What was the sin then? What was the sin? So the sin, many tzaddikim said, can be gleaned when you look in Parshas Kisisa, and also this comes up in Parshas Veschanan as well. In Parshas Veschanan, when Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting the sin of the golden calf, he stresses the same idea. What's the idea? It's in Perek Lamed Beis of this week's parsha, Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, Ra'isi es am hazeh, v'hinei am k'shei oref hu. Hashem says to Moshe, I've seen this people, and behold, they are a stiff-necked people. V'ata hanicha li, leave me be, v'yichar api bahem, v'achalem v'eschol eschol gadol. God says, leave me be, and I want to wipe them out. And that's in fact what Hashem says also in Parshas Ekev. Later on in the Torah, this is what Hashem says in Parshas Ekev. Hashem says to Moshe, it says again, It's the stick neckedness of the Jewish people that I can't have anything to do with them. Like I'm done. The pasuk in Ekev. I apologize, I don't have it in front of me. But you look in Ekev when Moshe Rabbeinu was going over the sin, the same thing. But what does it mean, Am Kshei Oref? So I want to bring three opinions of what Am Kshei Oref means. Rashi, Ibn Ezra and Tosporno, all great Rishonim that have commentaries on Chumash. Rashi says in this week's parsha, what does it mean, k'shei oref, stick neck? What is a stiff neck? Machzirin k'shei arpam l'neged mochichehem u'memanim l'shmoa. They turn the back of their neck, the hard part of the neck, they turn it opposite those that are trying to admonish them, and they refuse to listen to them. That's Rashi, k'shei oref. Ibn Ezra says, what is it? Shelo yishma mashatziva. They have a stiff neck that they won't hear what is being commanded to them. Mashal la'adam holich ladarko b'merutza, like a person is running somewhere quickly. Velo yashiv orif likroilov. And someone's calling out to him, hey, chayim, nu, chayim. And you don't turn. You just keep running. You don't turn what someone's saying. No. Like, you don't hear. You don't hear what anyone else is saying. And the Sparno says it, v'hineyam k'shei orifu gid barzel arpam. Their neck is like an iron connector. V'lo yifnu l'shmo adivrei shum mora tzedek. And they don't turn to listen to anyone that's teaching them, that's guiding them correctly. What is Am Kshei Orif a symbol of, a symptom of? It's a symptom of refusing to have Maris over you, refusing to have anyone else as master over you, refusing to have anyone else tell you what you should be doing. That's what it means, Am Kshei Orif. And so what we see is, and this Rav Yitzchak Kuttner says it, the Pachad Yitzchak of Chaim Berlin, Zechusi Agen Aleinu, he says it's clear that the sin of the golden calf was not a sin. It was not a sin of Avodah Zarah. It was this sin of Kashyus Orif. It was this sin of having a stiff neck, of refusing to listen. Again, I like the Lashon of the Ibn Ezra, of the Sparno. V'lo yifnu l'shmo adivrei shum mora tzedek. Someone that's a mora tzedek, trying to teach them, tzedek, trying to teach them righteousness, what the correct thing, what tzadok, what is right to do, that lo yifnu l'shmo, they're not going to turn to listen to any mora tzedek. Now, why is this so bad? Because we know that's the antithesis of the shoresh of the Jewish people. It's a Gemara in Chulin, Peites Amud Aleph, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you know, and this is at the end of Eschanan, Hashem tells us why He chose us. You know why Hashem chose us? Lo mirubchem mikol ha'amim chashak Adonai b'chem v'yivchar b'chem ki atem ha'ma'at mikol ha'amim. Hashem didn't choose you from all the nations because you're so numerous. Hashem chose you because you were the smallest. What does that mean? Because we were the smallest of all the nations, Hashem chose us. So look at the Gemara in Chulin, Peites Amud Aleph. Amr Lema Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael wanted to quote the Nusach, the exact language. It's a beautiful language. Hashem tells the Jewish people, Choshkani Bachem, I desire you. Why? Sha'afilu b'shash ani mashpeya lachem gedula, atem imatim atzmechem lefonai. Even when I pour greatness upon you, you're very humble. You minimize. No. Nosati gedula Avram. And there are three examples. I give greatness to Avram. And what does he say? Vanochi ofer ve'efer. I'm but dirt and ashes. Right? By the way, from that pasuk, Anochi ofer ve'efer, by the way, the Gemara tells us, when he said, I'm dirt and ashes, in the zechus of saying that I am ashes, we were given the mitzvah of paraduma. We were given the mitzvah of paraduma because Avram said, Anochi ofer ve'efer. Because I am but ashes, so we were given the mitzvah of the ashes of paraduma. You see? You're starting to understand here, right? You're starting to understand. Okay, Hashem gives greatness to Moshe and Aaron, and they say, V'nachnu ma, what are we? We're nothing. David says, V'anochi tolas v'lo ish. I'm like a worm, not like a man. That's what David HaMelech says. So that's what the Gemara in Chulin Peites is teaching us, that the shorish, the root of the greatness of the Jewish people is our humility, our able to submit ourselves to the Ribono Shel Olam. And of course, as we discussed many times over the past 3 weeks, right? When did the whole nation do this? What maybe was the greatest manifestation of this character of the Jewish people? The famous Gemara Shabbos, we're going to go back to time and time again, that Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma. We're going to do, and we're going to love, we're going to know, we're going to come to understand. Understanding's important, but first is Nasa. We're just going to do. And that's the submissiveness. That's the submission, the removal of ego, the absolute antithesis of what? Of Am Kshei Orif. The absolute antithesis of a people that refuse to turn their neck to listen to a Mora Tzedek, refuse to listen to someone that's teaching them. They refuse to turn their neck, right? So the absolute antithesis to that is Nasa v'nishma. And also it's the mitzvah of Paraduma. Why? Because what's the mitzvah of Paraduma? Shlomo HaMelech says, when Shlomo HaMelech says, I tried wisdom and it's beyond me, right? The pasuk in Koheles, Perek Zayin, I believe it's pasuk, maybe Chaf Gimel, I forget, in Perek Zayin in Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, I'm pretty wise, but this is beyond me. And what's he talking about? He's talking about Paraduma. Paraduma is the ultimate, tool to bring a person to real humility, to understand that we don't understand. That's exactly the mitzvah of Paraduma. And that's why it's the mother fixing up the mess of the child. The child of Egel HaZahav, the golden calf, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. It was the Jewish people saying, Moshe's not here, we're going to take charge. We're going to, and that's good, there are times that we have to take charge, but not like this. Not like this. To have a vehicle for Hashem's presence in this world, we spoke about the Mishkan being this, this physical shell that mamish holds the greatest lights, the most infinite lights are somehow mitzamtzem or constricted and confined into this shell of a structure and into the kalim, and it's unbelievable what the Mishkan is. But you have to understand, it has to be kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Time and time again in Vayakel and Pekudei we read, right? How many times Hashem says, the Torah says that they did exactly what Hashem taught Moshe. So this is what we have to understand, that the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is about recognizing who we are, that the essence of the Jewish people is Nasa v'Nishma. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. Even when we think we're very, very smart, Shlomo HaMelech reminds us, No. And that we see from Avram, and that we see from Moshe, and that we see from David HaMelech. But let's take it further, because we see Rashi said that it's a preparation for the Karban Pesach. And the truth is, the Dalet Parshios are not really about Purim. They're really about preparing for Pesach. Even Zachar, it's really all about preparing for Pesach. It's about Al-Pi Kabbalah, if you want to get very Kabbalistic, believe it or not, what the Dalet Parshios are about taking Hashem's name, Yud-Heh and Vav-Heh, and illuminating it and lifting it up. Parsha Shkalim is the last Heh, Zachar is the Vav. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Parah, is the first Heh, which represents the Sphira of Bina, which is all about Tshuva, which is what we're going to get to. Again, we're going to get a little bit more Kabbalistic here, Chevra. But this idea of the Parah Aduma, of Parshas Parah, it's really a preparation for Pesach. So we said on one level, right, of course, because we have to know how to purify ourselves to be able to eat a carbon, right? But let's go, no. What's Seder night really about, Chevra? What's Pesach really about? Right? You know what Pesach's really about? Pesach is really about the night that we became Hashem's servants. It's a Medrash Tanchuma we quote all the time. Simen Reish Vav in Tanchuma. That it was the night of Makas Bechoros, and Paro finally breaks. And Paro runs into the Jewish area in Eretz Goshen, and he's looking for Moshe and Aaron, because again, Moshe told him, you're not going to see my face again. And Moshe then walked out, and he's looking around for Moshe and Aaron. Where are they? Where are they? Because they're not going to come to him. And he can't find them. And according to many, he didn't see their face again. He did not see the face of Moshe and Aaron again. Mamish. But what does Paro do? He just screams out to Hashem, Lo avodayim avdechahem. Hashem, no mas, you win. They're not my slaves anymore. They're your slaves. Hashem, they're your slaves. You know what one of the main avodas of Seder night is about? It's about recognizing us as avdei Hashem. That we're eved Hashem. And you know, in fact, what the Medrash tells us, it is those three avadim that we spoke about, those three great humble people that are referred to as avadim. Avram, the pasuk says, Bereshis Chafav Chafdalid, Avraham Avdi, Hashem refers to him. By Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, it says, Vayam Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem at the end of the Torah. And by David HaMelech, it's actually in Yishayahu that it says, Lemani Uleman David Avdi. So Davka Avraham, Moshe and David, the ones that the Gemara in Chulin Peites says are the ones that they understand what true humility is. They're able to submit themselves. They know the message of the Parah Aduma. They're the ones that are known as Avodim. And we know Seder night, it's about being Avdei Hashem. It's about running to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not as an Eved Al Menas L'Kabel Pras. Not as a servant that's going to receive reward, but as an Eved of Ava, to serve the Hashem as Ava. And that's why we know what is such an important part of Seder night. Hallel. Hallel. Kriyas Hallel. Do you realize what we do? We say Hallel and Shul after Marav. And then we come home and we say Hallel during the Seder. And we don't even say it all at once. We break it up. part at the end of Magid, then after benching, and we just sing, and it's a beautiful thing. Hallel, but part of Hallel, what's the key of Hallel, Chevra? Right? Well, what's the thread that all of Hallel is woven around? So we know it's a famous story. It's a famous story by the Ger Chasidim. That the Ger Chasidim had a tradition from the Sfas Emes, the Heilige Sfas Emes, the second Rebbe of Ger, a grandson of its founder, the Chiddush HaRim, the Sfas Emes' father, the Chiddush HaRim's son, Nebuch, died very, very young. The Chiddush HaRim raised his grandson, the Sfas Emes, who became the second Rebbe. So there was a Kabbalah in Ger that the Sfas Emes said, whenever a Jew needs a Yeshua Hashem, just scream out by Ana Hashem in Hallel, and you guaranteed a Yeshua Hashem. You guaranteed Hashem's going to take care. So the Hasidim came to the son, the Imre Emes, that they don't mean to question the Rebbe, but the Yidden who was screaming during Hallel and Gur Nishalfin, it's not happening. The Yeshua Hashem isn't happening. So the Imre Emes is quiet, he's puzzled, he says, "Is Hayitachin? How could it be?" And then the Imramis realizes. He says, "Which Ana Hashem are you screaming by?" So they were like, "Ana Hashem Hoshiyana. We need a salvation for Hashem." So he says, no, wrong Ana Hashem. So they say, "Ana Hashem Atzlichana? We're still screaming by Ana Hashem Atzlichana. Hashem, please make us successful, right? Bring us success." The Imramis says, no, you're missing it. They say, "What do you mean? What other Ana Hashem?" So the Imre Emes says, the Tati Zokt, what my father meant was, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha ben amasecha, pitachta lemosei roi. My father meant, you know what's the key of Hallel? You want a Yeshua Hashem, you need a salvation, scream during Ana Hashem of Hallel, not by, "Please Hashem, save me, please Hashem, make me successful." By, "Please Hashem, I am your servant. I am your servant, the daughter of the son of your maid. Pitachta lemosei roi. Open up all my chains. Open up all my knots. Set me free. Set me free to only be your servant. And not a servant to anything else." Dimri Emes says, if a Yid screams by Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha ben amasecha pitachta lemosei roi, that's when you have Yeshua Hashem. And that, Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, we've been quoting a lot, Zatzal, the great Rosh Mashkiach of the Mir in Europe, he said, Seder night, the avod of Seder night is avdus. The avod of Seder night, when the Rambam writes, Chayev Adam, every person has to see as if he or she left Egypt. Mamash leaving Egypt that night. Zakt Reb Yeruchim doesn't mean that you have to imagine the heat of Egypt, although right now it's getting cold again. Maybe the heat would be nice, right? But no, what you're supposed to feel is the overwhelming gratitude to Hashem and that you're not an Eved Taparu anymore. Now you're an Eved Hashem. That's one of the major avodas of Seder night. So what's the hachana for that? How do we get ready for Seder night? How do we get ready for Pesach to be able to scream out to Hashem b'temimus with full heart, b'simcha, with joy, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, ani avdecha ben amosecha pitachta lemosei roi. You know how? Paraduma is how. Paraduma is how we understand this. Para Aduma is when we're mevat el ardas to the Ribon Hashem, to the Adon, recognizing that I'm an Eved, I'm not the Adon, I'm an Eved. And this is a second shot of what Para Aduma is. Why we have to read it before Pesach. But now let's get to a third shot, okay? I wanted to give four pshatim tonight, although it's a little bit late. It's running a shtickle late. We don't know we'll get through all four pshatim tonight. But let's get to a quick third. A quick third from the Sefer Ber Yosef. The Sefer Ber Yosef quotes a beautiful pshat, also another very important pshat, that how Para Aduma is achana for Nisan Dafka. How it's achana Dafka for the month of Nisan. And Dafka, that Para Aduma has to come after Purim, in between Purim and Pesach. Why? Because what's the message of the Para Aduma, as we said? The message of the Paraduma is, we know nothing. We know nothing. The smartest of all men didn't understand, couldn't understand it. So the Bar Yosef says, it's not only in terms of the halachos, it's not only in terms of mitzvos, right? That we can't create our own golden calves. We can't decide that we know the best way to connect Hashem. Hashem gave us an instruction manual. Go read it. Go learn Hashem's instruction manual, right? But Zok the Bar Yosef, but how many times in life that we just look at things that happen and we say, Hashem, why? Hashem, how is this fair? Eibishter, what's going on? And of course, in the grips of a global pandemic, we can't forget where we are. I think this is something that we can't stray from. We have to come back to the Paraduma, and I want to read you a little bit of the Lashon of the Bar Yosef. The Bar Yosef says, "Shelo yavo lahar acher midas dino shel hakadosh baruch hu v'lo yifal olav hadavar chalila lahavido lahaviro al daito v'al das kono b'sheilas tzadik v'ralo rosho v'tovlo." And the reason is kidei lahargil osana b'maisa mitzvah zu af belish neida taima. He says part of the message, the Sefer Bar Yosef says, part of the message of admitting that we don't know is not only in terms of the secrets of why mitzvahs work and why they don't work. Admitting that we don't know is also admitting that we see things in this world that do not seem to indicate that there's an omniscient, omnipotent, loving God, right? I mean, there's a reason, we've discussed this many, many times before, why when we say Shema Yisrael, we cover our eyes. Why we cover our eyes. And we learned about this in Shir and Parshas Yisrael, when we heard sounds, right? Because with our eyes, we think we know things. We see things with our eyes, we think we know things. The ultimate declaration of faith is with our hand over our eyes, because I don't know anything. All I know is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what I know. Anything else, I don't know. I don't know. I see things. I think I know, but I know I don't know. And that's also a message of Paraduma. And think about when we read Paraduma. It's mamish right after a Purim as the hachana for Pesach. Because the Purim story had a good ending. Right? The Purim story, Baruch Hashem, had a good ending. And the Pesach story has a good ending. But there's a lot of maror in the Pesach story, Chevra. Right? There's a lot of maror in the Pesach story. There's a lot of bitterness. There's a lot of bitterness. And we don't understand, right? That's why when Rabbi Gamliel's three things, Pesach, Matzah, Maror, why do we talk about Maror last chronologically? The Maror, the bitterness was first. It should be Maror, then Pesach and Matzah. Because Pesach they had that night of the 15th of Matzah, right? Because the dough didn't have a chance to rise. So, you know, it should be Maror, Pesach, Matzah. Why is Maror at the end? Because we put Maror at the end. We don't understand the Maror. Right? It's only after we have the Pesach and the Matzah we can even try and digest the maror, what the bitterness was. But as a hachana for Pesach, so we don't get overwhelmed by the maror before the Pesach and before the Matzah, we have Paraduma. This is the Bar Yosef says. We have the message of the Paraduma this week. And it's again, according to the Mechaber, according to Tosus, a Kriya Midaraisa, Torah law that we have to read this. Because it's Torah law, just like it's Torah law from Parshas Zohar, you can't forget how much Hashem loves you and never think that you're disconnected from the Eibishter. Right? That's what Zohar is. But Parah is, it's a mitzvah midaraisa to remember that there are going to be things in this world that are going to challenge your faith. And please just remember that you don't know. Just remember that you don't know. Never grow too arrogant to think that we have all the answers, because we don't. And that's what Paraduma tells us. And just mamish bekitzer nimrat, I'd like to just quickly go to the fourth and final approach that we're going to get to, but it's really much more b'harchav, and I apologize for going so short on it. But it's also a very important approach, because it really follows Zohar. Meaning, we come from Zohar, right? We come from a Purim. And what's Zohar about? What's Purim about? Remembering that Hashem loves you. Remembering that no matter what message a Haman wants to say, that you reject it. Hashem loves you, and Hashem is there for all of us, right? So after we come through a Zachar and we see the story of a Purim, what should that inspire us to? That should inspire us that Hashem loves us. All right? Shuva Eli, Vashuva Aleichem. Right? Let me return to Hashem. Even when I'm in the flesh pots of Persia or the flesh pots of America, and I'm so far away and I feel so disconnected, Parsha Zachar is saying, Hashem says, remember I love you. Remember, I'm never going to let you be totally destroyed. Remember, I'm with you. Wherever you are, just call out to me. Right? Yesh Hashem b'kibeinu. Hashem is with us. Hashem never turns away from us. So you know what? Now then we have to do tshuva. We have to respond to Hashem. After a Zachar, after a Purim, when he experiences tremendous divine salvation, there's just like the Jews accepted the Torah, the Jews yearning to do tshuva. So the Shabbos after Purim, what does it teach us? Sometimes the Shabbos right after Purim, sometimes, as we said, is a week off, and then like this year. But what's the Kriya Daraisa? It's the Kriya of Parn. What's Par about? Par is about purity. And I want to read to you from the Kozhenitzer Magid, the Heiliger Kozhenitzer Magid, or Shlomo would say the Kozhenitzer Magid, the holy, the exalted, Zechus Egeleinu, and the Avodas Yisrael, he writes, Perish Inyan, the Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Dover Dibers Fasenu, Lirotzel Lufnei Adon Kol Kilu Kiamnu Vikravnu Akarbonus Vigam, Hapara Bhazal Shlishi Vishvi Vaide Kriyosa Al Kalponim Nitar Tara Ruchanis Lichvod HaRegel HaBoleinu. The Kozhenitzer Magid, the holy, the exalted, the Avodas Yisrael of Kozhen, Tzichus Yigen Aleinu says, Unishalma Farm Sfaseinu, by us reading Paraduma this week, you know what we're doing? We are mamish being purified spiritually. And the Beis Aaron of Karlin, he wrote, Tzarech Lahamin, we have to believe, Shekashem Shenitarin Be'efer Parah, mamish Lakrovas HaPesach, just like we believe in the ashes of the Parah would be sprinkled on us, with the water would be purified from the Tumah, of Tumas Meis, from any corpse Tumah. He says, Kemo kein so tu nitarin bizman hazeh b'kriyas parashas parah kol echad v'echad l'fi b'chinaso b'kedusha. So to every Jew is experiencing unbelievable purity this week. Unbelievable opportunity for tshuva. Again, what is Paraduma about being mitaras from Tumas Meis? When a person, Rahman al-Utsan, is in contact with a dead body, a nihilistic experience, a traumatizing experience, Meis l'mutal l'fanav, you come in contact with a dead body, every person has moments, moments when the Meis l'mutal l'fanav, when we feel like we're that Meis, we can't do anything, we can't, so comes the Hefer Paradum. You have to believe it. It totally removes impurity. So too, the Beis Aaron of Karlin says, the Parah Aduma that we read, Parshas Parah, it removes all the impurities. It removes all the impurities. And in fact, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, in the Pre-Tzadok, the Kohen Gadol of Lublin, he says, on the drasha for Parshas Parah, he says, you know what the proof is? He says, you know what the raya is? That we don't read Parah Aduma because of the ashes and the water that we're hoping are going to be sprinkled on us. Because look at the Haftorah. What did the Shulchan Aruch say the Haftorah is? And again, it's from the Gemara Megillah. What's the Haftorah? It's Haftorah from Yechezkel. Nowhere in the Haftorah in Yechezkel does it talk about becoming purified from Tumas Meis. But you know what it talks about in Haftorah in Yechezkel? Let me read you the pasuk. Maybe the most famous, one of the most famous psukim from the Haftorah, one of the most famous psukim from all of Yom Noraim. Mizarakti aleichem mayim tahorim utahartem mikol tumoschem, mikol tumosechem mikol gulechem etareschem, venasati lechem leiv chadosh vruach chadosha etem bechir bechem, vahasirosi es leiv haeven mibsarchem, venasati lechem leiv basar. Right? What's this talking about? What does it mean? Mizarakti aleichem mayim, I'm going to throw upon you the purifying waters. This isn't talking about the Efer Paraduma. It's talking about Rabbi Akiva teaches us at the end of Yuma. Amr v'yakiv ashrechem Yisrael lefnei miyatem mitarmu mi mitar eschem. Jewish people, who is mitar you? Avichem shabashamayim, your father in heaven, manikva mitar esatameyim avakadosh baruch hu, mitar mes Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitar eschevra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Shabbos, b'chvodo v'atzmo, parashas para, is going to be mitar us. Gevalt. This is a Kriya Daraisa, according to the Mechaber Yesh Omrim from Tosfos. You know why? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. Hashem saying, not only do I love you, not only am I with you, I'm going to turn you totally around. I'm going to give you a lev basar. I'm going to take that heart of stone and get rid of it and put it in a lev basar. I'll let you feel again. I'll let you live again. And this, Reb Tzadik says, is the proof that this Shabbos is about Taras HaLev from Avonos. It's about purifying our hearts. So just to quickly, again, we're not going to be able to get more into the Kabbalah of it, but we understand, those that understand Kabbalah a little bit. If this is the first hay of the Shem Havaya, right? It's the Sphira of Bina. The Sphira of Bina is known as the mother, right? The mother coming to clean the sin of the child. And that's where tshuva comes from. Tshuva comes from the sphere of Bina. So, again, we have four different pshatim about why we read Parshas Para. Again, starting with Rashi, that it's a function of, yeah, Jew always hopes. We hope, we mitzvah kriya, we're going to hope there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash this year, there's going to be a Karm Pesach. Second, that it's teaching us, it's the tikkun. Excuse me, it's the tikkun of the Chet HaEgel. And the sin of the golden calf, and that means that it's reminding us that we are not the ones that decide, that we have to recognize, we have to be mimat ourselves, we have to minimize ourselves and recognize our role as an eved, and that's really part of the achana. Excuse me. Part of the achana for Pesach, because the night of the Seder is about assuming the mantle of Ever Hashem, on Hashem, ki ani avdecha, ani avdecha, ben amasecha. Third approach was the approach of the Ber Yosef. That not only in terms of mitzvahs, in terms of I know how to serve God, I know what's right. No, Hashem knows what's right. But also different hachana for Pesach. Hachana for the maror of Pesach. That the month of Nisan, yes, we celebrate ultimately, but there's a lot of bitterness. There's the cement, there was the crying, there was the blood, there was a lot of pain. There's a lot of pain for the Jewish people. And the Ber Yosef says, Par Aduma before the month of Nisan is a reminder that difficulties in this world happen. And the Par Aduma is the reminder that there are limits to our understanding. And we can ask, and we can scream the Shilas. But Yid isn't broken by a Shiloh. We're not broken by a Shiloh because we know that we don't know. And the fourth pshat, that after we experience a Zachar, after we've come face to face with the dirtiness and the muck of an Amalek, of those that want to deny Hashem's in with us, to deny our own greatness, and we reject an Amalek. So now, once we reject an Amalek, once we know Hashem is with us, once we know really how great we are, then nu, what are you doing about it? So Parsha Zacha, Parshas Parah, as Reb Tzadok, as the Koshnitzer Magid, as Reb Beis Aaron of Karlin, all the great tzaddikim tell us, it's about Mamish Hashem being Matairas. Gevalt, gevalt, you know why? Because before the Gula Asida, we have to be ready. We have to be ready. We have to do tshuva before Mashiach comes. And Ben Nisa Nigalu, Ben Nisa Nasida Nigalu. In the month of Nisan, we were redeemed. And once again, the month of Nisan, Be'ez Hashem, with Hashem's help, we will be redeemed. So I apologize. I'm way, way over time. I apologize to everyone. I'm sorry for running. But this is very important. Para Duma, Parshas Para, possibly a Daraisa. Many, many beautiful approaches. I hope that we can work on this week and really appreciate the Shabbos. Good Shabbos, everyone.